Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, it is almost 3 years since the New York Times paid out a seven-figure sum for the game Wordle. If you're amongst the handful of people who haven't played Wordle, it's just a guessing game. Guess the five-letter word of the day through process of elimination. And it is now up on the New York Times website or on their app, amongst all the other puzzles they offer, like Spelling Bee, the different crossword sizes, connections, strands, Sudoku, letterbox, tiles, you name it. So popular has this part of the New York Times business become that they offer a subscription now, not to the newspaper, but just to their puzzle archive. Well, Ian Robertson is with me. Ian is the clinical psychologist and neuroscientist. He's an emeritus professor of psychology at Trinity College Dublin. Ian, why do we love puzzles so much?
Because they give us a sense of achievement, and that's one of the fundamental motivations that people have. We all want to feel good at something. And the other thing is that they occupy our attention. And these days, our attention can be awful. Dragged away to worrying or alarming things, or you know, concerns about the world, concerns about your own life. So to have something that gives you both a sense of achievement and occupies your attention is just it's just very, very enjoyable.
And is that a universal human trait?
For achievement, yeah. All you just have to see how even young children, just how much they love, you know, they will work away at something to try and get that block into the square, into the square hole. You know, they just like achieving. It's one of our evolutionary drives, really, along with need to be liked by other people and the need for control. So achievement, control, and being liked are the three main kind of primary motivations that we have.
And is there a kind of a sweet spot that you need to hit in terms of designing, say, a new puzzle that there's a degree of difficulty so that it elicits that sense of achievement, but not such a degree of difficulty that it prevents people from completing it?
Exactly. So that's the, you know, if it was dead easy, we'd find it boring. And if it was too hard, we'd give up. And so actually it's quite a good kind of metaphor for life in general, that, you know, people who do well in life are quite good at stretching themselves with not just of puzzles and games, but in other domains as well, of just pushing themselves, taking themselves a little forward. Because as you say, if it's too easy, you don't get a sense of achievement. You don't get that little buzz of success, which is actually, it really lifts your mood and lowers your anxiety. So you need to be in the edge of where it's difficult, but not too difficult. Mm.
So you kind of mentioned some of the benefits there about lifting our mood and lowering anxiety. Sometimes you'll read these newspaper stories that will suggest by doing the Sudoku every day, I'm kind of staving off Alzheimer's. Is there much evidence to back this type of claim up?
Not really. There are correlations. People that play a lot of games seem to and these are more social games. So maybe, you know, even games like Bridge or Monopoly or things like that, that may signify that people are engaged with life and engaged with other people. And that sense of engagement, of feeling a sense of purpose and feeling connected to other people, that's hugely more powerful builder of a robust brain that's going to maybe ward off the Alzheimer's a little bit. Yeah.
So it's kind of causation and correlation. If I have the exact same Monopoly experience as you, but I'm just playing it against a computer program, whereas you're playing it with a group of other people, you and I are going to have completely different benefits.
Yeah, because other people are the most challenging thing we have. You know, so Some people will cheat. Some people will get angry with you. So you're having to deal with all sorts of, you know, and you're also laughing and having good fun. So that combination of things, that's hugely stimulating to the brain. Other people are the biggest and most enriching source of stimulation to our brains.
So, you know, I mentioned a lot of those puzzles that are on the New York Times app. I just gave that by way of example because of the puzzles I do most days.
Yeah.
I'm not doing them with other people. Well, sorry, I know. I am in a crossword league, as regular listeners to this show will know. So I, you know, kind of queue up here, ladies. Yeah. Am I accruing any kind of real benefit then from kind of doing Wordle on my own or Spelling Bee on my own or Strands on my own every day?
To the extent that you're not doom scrolling on Twitter, or that you're not sitting, you know, passively kind of watching stuff. You know, anything that engages you is good for the brain. Now, the long-term effects there's been no demonstration, long-term effects of crosswords or Wordle or anything, of any long-term beneficial effects. But the critical thing is enjoyment. If you're doing something that you enjoy, enjoyment is extremely good for the brain. So not being bored, being engaged, having a sense of a tiny sense of purpose, you know, today can I achieve that level today? That's all very good for your well-being, and you know, the worst thing is to be just sitting, letting our mind wander too much. It's fine if we daydream, but if we let our mind wander too much, it tends to wander to things we're worried about. And that drags down our mood and lifts our anxiety. And these things are not that good for our brain if they're long term.
And you know that sweet spot then you talked about between kind of accessibility and difficulty. Games that are kind of adaptive or change, I guess, are better at maintaining that sweet spot, are they? Because the ones that are kind of static, after a while, you learn the hacks and you do it very quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, there are quite a number of studies that was particular kinds of games that have so-called adaptive training, so that the better you do, the harder they get. And particularly games that involve speed of reaction and also scanning the whole visual field and detection. So there is some evidence that we perhaps can improve cognitive function of certain types of speed of thinking a little bit by certain types of adaptive games. There are just general games, you know, just that you play. They aren't necessarily, there's no real evidence for them, but there are certain categories where there's been a lot of proper scientific studies done where there is some evidence that you might get some benefits from that.
Ian, listen, thanks a million for joining us. Always good to talk to you. Ian Robertson is a clinical psychologist and neuroscientist, emeritus professor of psychology at Trinity College Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.